From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
This is a live look inside Everbank Field, where yesterday the Jaguars came away with a 23-20 win over the Miami Dolphins. Week 2 in the National Football League is in the books. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton will take you right up to Gus Bradley's 1 o'clock press conference today on Victory Monday at Everbank Field. It's been a long time since the Jags have had a September win. 2012, in fact, was the last September win for the Jags. That was a road game in Indy.
Right.
The last 500 mark at all was in 2011 when this team was 1-1. It's a different feeling around here today.
Well, Brian, you have a 10-year gap that I missed. I mean, I was gone for 10 years when you were here. But this is one of the biggest victories I remember around here since a long time ago because of the way they got it done, because I said to you right before we went off the air yesterday in our pregame, this was a big game, not only for the record, but because they needed to play like they thought they could play.
You know, this was the biggest regular season win, and this is obviously all subjective.
Sure.
Since the Jaguars, they got pummeled in Kansas City in late October of 2010, and they went back the next week, they went to Dallas. We thought they were all going to get crushed in Dallas, and they beat the Cowboys and started a winning streak that took them to 8-5. In late December in Indianapolis, where they had a chance at the division title. Mm-hmm. Now, we're a long way from that juncture of the season, but as I was thinking back through it last night, there was a lot of significance on that Dallas game if they were going to do anything with that season,
right?
And there was a lot of significance on this Dolphins game if they were going to do anything with this season.
Well, they had had such high hopes and felt so good about the way all the things they'd done in the offseason, the preseason. And I think the locker room and the coaches really knew and believed that was real. But until you do it during the regular season, it just, you know, there's still questions. Now, they still have to build on everything they did.
Right.
Nobody's saying this puts them in the playoffs. But it was very significant for this team to show that they were what they thought they were.
Well, I mean, the last 2 years you could more easily see them losing that game than you could see winning. You know, I'm going through my mind as they're going down the field about all the things that could happen. I thought, well, this is not last year's team. Let's see what this year's team does.
Right.
And they made the plays. Jared had the sack, you know, forced the fumble, which really was the turning point there because it changed the entire tempo of the offense.
And that was a man sack, by the way.
Oh, hey, man. He was a man that last series.
Yeah.
We'll get to defense coming up. Let's start with this offense, though. They really set the tone. Opening drive touchdown for the first time in 8 games for this Jags offense. And that was important after the performance they had in week 1 to come out, drive the ball, be aggressive, and they found Allen Robinson early and often, including for that opening touchdown.
Well, we've talked a lot, and there's so much talk about from a game when you win. And the big plays that Allen Robinson made, the 32-yarder, the 36-yarder, 52-yarder, but I thought what was really critical there, you score with T.J. Yeldon or you think you've scored. And then you try to run it in the next play and you lose 2. Well, now all of a sudden you're looking at what? 2nd and goal from the 3. Well, when they didn't get that, when they lost those 2 yards, I had a feeling inside of, uh-oh, here we go again. You're going to be looking at 3.
Well, yeah, but the pass comes back.
And then to come back and hit a relatively easy touchdown the way it looked, Allen Robinson, all the stuff that we talked about last night and this morning, that was huge to me because they didn't let a little trip up cause a huge fumble.
You know, couple things on that drive. First of all, Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, you know, both in the locker room last week, stepped up, took accountability. Allen Robinson in particular, he got a little irked with a question that I asked him when I said, should we all kind of scale back our expectations with the offense for a couple of weeks until you get healthy? And he jumped right in and said, no, I have higher expectations for myself than you do. I'll make the catch. And then to see him, you know, go up and make the catch, and Allen Hurns the same thing. The thing that struck me, and I couldn't see his eyes if I was so far away, so I was relying on his body language was Bortles. The body language said, we are going to score on this drive. The determination in almost every instance is he was in the huddle or he was at the line of scrimmage or he was standing in the pocket, said, we're going to do it. I really thought, and again, I couldn't see his eyes, that it was a testament to his will that they were going to get something done on that first drive.
And, you know, not to dredge up what happened last week, but an impressive way that Bortles handled the whole week. You know, he didn't change even after kindergarten gate. You know, I don't know how many people follow social media or whatever. He comes back and he posts the picture of himself on Instagram in kindergarten. Well, I don't know how much that had to do with the game. I don't know how much it didn't have to do with anything. But it certainly showed that, look, I get it. Probably shouldn't have said it. Whatever. Didn't really flap. Didn't really change. Didn't act like, oh, my goodness, it's going to be terrible. You know,
yeah,
all that stuff.
He doesn't let things bother him.
Right. So he handled it. He was cool under pressure. And then he went out and made plays. And he played his best game here. Didn't play perfectly. But after a struggling second half.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good final drive and made some big plays and stepped up again. So pretty interesting good week for Blake Bortles.
Well, you know, you say it because they had the five drives. Three of them were three and outs. They had 22 plays on those five drives, I think 48 yards. I mean, there was that moment in the middle of it where you just felt like, where is this thing going?
Right.
And that's where Audric stepped back into it and changed the whole tempo of it because you made them punt. And you got the ball back.
There were multiple chances to let that game get away, and they didn't.
Offensive line play yesterday. That was a big question mark going into the game. Luke Jokel did not play, so Sam Young at left tackle. How would the group hold up against this widely heralded defensive line for Miami? Sue and Wake and Vernon. Well, they shut them out. No sacks yesterday and got over 120 yards on the ground running the ball.
Well, I could use my little baby voice that I just used.
Go for
and say,
it.
Well, we didn't yet, but this line, again, it wouldn't have been surprising if they'd get up two or three sacks yesterday. But Sam Young came out and played very well after a week when he had been criticized as much as anybody. And for them not to give up any sacks and to hold up, and I thought maybe the most significant play they had, and you shouldn't say that because they were all significant, but on the double move with Allen Robinson in the first half where he caught the 45-yard touchdown, it takes time to do a double move. You have to call that play. You have to feel confident in it. And he had time, and Bortles made a good move in the pocket and made the play. Don't know that would have happened in the past.
Well, I would credit Bortles because last week in his news conference, he said, I have faith in Sam Young. I'm not worried about what is going on over at left tackle. I believe in him. And then he slid to his left, stepped up right behind where Sam was on that throw. And he was very patient in the pocket. So, you know, he says what he means, and he means what he says. He didn't worry about rolling to his left. Now, in fairness, Cam Wake didn't play the second half with a hamstring, and Olivier Vernon wasn't himself. But the story, as far as I'm concerned, with what the offensive line did was Brandon Linder on Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't look at the stats and tackles, although that does indicate something. He just was a non-factor.
Right.
I mean, he just didn't dominate the game. There were two or three moments where you could tell that they couldn't get a lot of different things that they wanted to do in the running game done. But overall, Sue didn't wreck their game plan. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, when you give a guy $60 million guaranteed dollars and the largest contract ever, you expect him to wreck teams' game plans.
Yeah, and that was going to be a tough call from the start with Sue. I mean, living up to that contract.
Well, I would guarantee him $30 million. You still expect him to do that, and he didn't.
The Jaguars, Yeldon had, what, like 2.7 a carry, I think. Not insignificant, though, that at the end of the game, on that last drive, three carries, 15 yards, and got some important yards when it really mattered. So I kind of wrote this morning, not a great game for the running game. At the same time, when it mattered, they stuck with it, and that's what they're determined to do with that running game this year.
I don't have the play-by-play in front of me, but there was one run in that last series you're talking about with a turn of the hips, and he got three or four extra yards going across the field that I just went, wow. I mean, this guy has special vision and the ability to get two or three more.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Edgerrin James. We talked this conversation.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in pure running style, but James was the guy with the ball in his hand with the Colts all those years where you thought you had him stopped on third down and five, and all of a sudden he'd pick up six.
He could turn a three into six, and that's what Yeldon sort of
that's
is starting
what it looks
to look
like.
Let's go defense now. The group played with a lot of grit in this game, especially in the second half. They gave up the third quarter touchdown to tie the game at 20, but then blanked the Dolphins the rest of the way. And guess what? Not a lot of frontline guys out there in the secondary, especially to get this done, but they somehow prevailed in the very end and fought through and finished the ball game finally.
At one point, they were down to numbers 4, 5, and 6 in the secondary.
I saw that.
And they don't carry six.
I saw Peyton Thompson.
I saw Peyton Thompson
lined up across from Jarvis Landry, who was really getting stuff done in the middle of the field. And I went, uh-oh. But that was when pressure came.
Right. And you had Nick Marshall on the field at the end of the game, who clearly they don't want to be on the field at the end of the game.
Nope.
He's their fifth corner, and they've said he's going to take time to develop. But like you said, they figured out a way in the fourth quarter to, I guess, man up, create pressure, scheme it, and keeps Steve Tannehill.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
You go back to South Carolina.
I've been doing that all week.
I know.
Nice hair.
I knew I was going to make the mistake. But the last image
JP
of that
and
game.
I never made a mistake.
No, never. Every time you looked up in the second half, Ryan Tannehill was running outside and then having to throw it high and wide.
Yeah.
And that, it wasn't absolute blast off the line pressure, but it was pressure when it mattered, and it was enough to keep that Dolphins offense out of the end zone.
We have to point out Audric, who, yes. You know, he the one sack there and the block pass is what everyone's focused on, but if you watched him all day, he was constantly driving the offensive tackles, James and Fox,
mm-hmm.
Who was in replacement for Brandon Albert. I mean, he was pushing them back to the feet of Tannehill, and he couldn't ever set up. And again, those are numbers. There's no column for that, right?
Well, you said you can't look at stats.
Yeah.
You think Audric doesn't know Sue's stats today?
Oh, no. No, I'm sure that he does, but you understand.
I mean, I had to motivate him.
Sue's a guy who he could dominate a game and have no sacks, but mm-hmm. yesterday he didn't dominate and had no stats. Yesterday, Audric dominated the line of scrimmage, and you know people are going to see those, you know, the sack and the pressure.
Right.
But I mean, he was everywhere.
Well,
everywhere.
I talk to you guys a lot about football, and you guys know I'm not a huge free agency guy. I have to change my mind. Scuda, Parnell, Audric, those guys played big and have improved their areas dramatically.
Audric, of course, had the batted pass. Let's go down the hall now. Gus Bradley's press conference here on Monday.
What's up, Vita? All right, injury update for everybody. Cornerback Devon House was playing through a chest congestion during the week and wanted to attempt to play yesterday. It became a concern when he began struggling to keep liquids down. So the medical staff decided to take him to the hospital for further treatment, evaluation, and observation. He was released this morning and is expected to return to practice this week. Running back Denard Robinson suffered a sprained knee during the game. He'll be week to week moving forward. Wide receiver Rashad Green suffered a thumb injury. He is still under evaluation, and more details will be given later in the week. Cornerback Aaron Colvin was going through some cramping during the game. He was given fluids by the medical staff in return for the final series. He's been cleared to return to practice. As you know, with Marquise Lee, he was limited during the week and played yesterday. The team, the medical team, was very pleased with how he came out of the game, and he'll continue the progression towards a full workload. With Jokel and Gratz and their ankle injuries, as well as Ciprian with his calf, we'll have more information for you guys on Wednesday. Sanderek this week will remain a limited participant in practice. For Toby Gerhart, he'll be in a limited role this week. More to come on Wednesday. Same with Julius. He'll be limited again this week. And Branch this week will be increasing his functional activities as he comes back from that knee injury.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, I thought it was a really great victory. Total team effort. We talk about playing hard, playing fast, playing together. And I thought we saw multiple examples of those things taking place all week. The other thing we emphasized was the ability to play in a heightened environment and, you know, to play within yourself. I thought the guys did an outstanding job of that, as well as, you know, we talked, mentioned earlier during the week, just responding to adversity, know that it's going to take place through the game, and I think we're looking for guys that can quickly recover.
you know, hey, it happened, next play, let's move forward. And again, countless examples of that. So overall, total team effort, all three phases had their big part in it, offense, defense, special teams, and great effort that way. I think a lot of stories took place within this game. You know, you look at offensively, the offensive line protection that they had, running the ball, getting over 100 yards. They did a good job. Sam Young coming in and playing left tackle for Luke Jokel did a really nice job. The wide receivers responding to the adversity they had last week, coming back and really having a good complete game. And then Blake, I think for him it was all about his performance, about poise, staying aggressive, giving our guys an opportunity. And I think you saw that throughout too. Defensively, the play of Ryan Davis and Jared Odrick, both those guys in the front line did very well. Jared Odrick had a couple batted balls, really good hustle plays, chase plays, and good effort overall, as well as Ryan Davis. Telvin Smith had a good game. I think he led the team in tackles, played very, very fast. Puz was out of the box a little bit more, displaced, so didn't get as many opportunities as he generally does. But, you know, Telvin really showed up. And then the secondary, just how they adjusted to injuries. Had quite a few injuries take place beginning of the week and as the game, we encountered the game, and guys really stood, you know, picked it up, like Peyton Thompson and Nick Marshall and so on. Special teams, Jason Myers bouncing back. I think he had, what, 3 for 3 on field goals, 27, 58, 28. 2 for 2 on extra points. Ryan Anger did a really nice job. Heightened environment, got off of a 56-yard punt, pinned him back with Nick Marshall's tackle. So just countless examples of all that, things that took place. Really was a tale of two halves. The first half, our offense, I think, had 6 opportunities, 6 series. We scored on 4 of them. They had 5. They scored on 3. The second half was completely different, filled with multiple series of punts on both sides. You know, they scored 1 touchdown, and we scored a field goal. And, you know, it's really, you know, 2 completely different halves. Thought our defense really played well in the second half. They were 1 for 7 on third downs, and we became more aggressive in the second half. And it paid off. But it was really a battle of field position in the second half. And in the end, we just had better field position.
How frustrated with Linder?
He did a really good job. You know, I thought the whole offensive line, I know you want to pinpoint one, which, you know, we look at it as a whole. They did very well. Linder did very well with his matchup.
What allowed him? Is he better with his hands this year? Or just strength?
No, I think, you know, Linder's a good guard. We've always felt that all along. He performs real consistently. He's very aggressive. He understands the scheme, and he just played that way.
Impressed with Marquise and what he was able to give, particularly on the route. Blake missed him, but it looked like on a post he had a chance for a big play if the ball didn't
land. Right, I think he had, 2 catches and a run, but played 22 plays, so kind of what we figured he'd play. Made a big catch. There's a penalty involved in that one, but just overall the way he attacked and how aggressive he played, very pleased. He did a solid job. I think you saw in the second half he played the first series, and then we took him out and put Josh Evans in. We just felt like we won more diversity in some of our calls, and Josh has more experience in that. But, you know, he's really played strong safety 3 days prior to this game. And for him, what he undertook, you know, the run game. You look at the run game, they had 40-some yards of rushing, I believe. And such a big part of that strong safety is he's down in the box. So did some good things, but, you know, you can tell that he only had limited practices.
Why do you think he was a good fit to start the game at that position?
Well, I think that, you know, we knew what we had in Josh. We only had 3 safeties, really. Josh had the ability to play strong and free. And we really had Josh was the only strong. Sample was a free, so it was Sergio. So to make the flip and get Sample all the strong reps, we just felt like it would solidify that part of it in case of an injury should occur.
With all the injuries that you had, was yesterday's victory a testament to the increased depth?
Yeah, I really do. I think it's a compliment to the players that, you know, guys like Peyton and Nick Marshall and those guys to be ready when their number's called, and the coaches for getting them ready. We felt like our roster has improved depth-wise, and we really needed it yesterday.
At what point do you turn your attention to New England? Has that already happened?
Yeah, it'll start right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Basketball, the Pats, you faced Brady once. What's the biggest challenge he faces?
Well, I mean, he's so efficient. It makes so many good decisions. Understands their offense so well. Haven't watched a lot of film the last couple of games now. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see. But we know it's a tremendous challenge for us. Tremendous challenge. And the weapons they have offensively, they're doing very well. So, you know, the poise he plays with, the big plays he comes up with, rarely rattled, rarely, you know, gets confused, keeps his poise, and performs at a high level.
Someone asked Blake yesterday about the long touchdown pass to Robinson, and he said, yeah, it was a play we checked to, and then I had to adjust the protection, and then he took that extra beat to make sure the receiver completed the drop before he launched it. What does it say that your second-year quarterback can execute like that, both mentally and physically?
Well, it's a credit because I think before that play we had time to talk about it. And, you know, that's what Ole put on his plate, said, here's what we're going to do. And if you get a certain look, this is what we're going to go with. You're going to have to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage. And Blake made the adjustment. And first of all, I have enough confidence in Blake can do that. And Blake took it on and made all the necessary checks. So this is a great example of taking the information and then executing. No, I think what Jared Odrick has gone through is he knows his position very well. I think what we ask of him was a learning curve. What we, our expectations of that position and what we expected out of him. And, he competed throughout. This is through training camp, through OTAs. And, I just thought it was great. He had some batted balls and he made, you know, got a hit on the quarterback. But what was really impressive too, I think they had a little screen off to the side and he came out of the stack, turned and ran and got a hit. And that part, now, you know, the play up in the box and his effort, all that. But his effort to turn and go, you know, just he had a complete game. And I think that's really what stood out to us.
What are your thoughts on the running game?
Well, you know, anytime you get over 100 yards, you know, I think that's a good sign. But there's so much more room to grow. I think our offensive line is doing a good job. I heard a stat, something like TJ or the running backs have the most yards before contact. That's a tribute to the offensive line. But TJ is, you know, I talked about TJ because he had the majority of the reps. And it does a great job, too, making people miss. He can turn a negative yardage play into a couple-yard gain and a couple-yard gain into a 7-8-yard gain. So, you know, it's great to see him with the limited reps that he had in preseason to come out and perform like he's doing. Our hopes is he only gets better. But it's going to be, you know, Bernard had a nice run. And, you know, who knows with Denard, but it's still we got to utilize all of them.
Is there a unique challenge to going up against a Belichick coach team as far as preparation involved and stuff like that, what they do?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've been so successful. And, you know, they like matchups and they're looking for certain matchups. And, so, I mean, we'll go about it the same way, but we understand they're, you know, they're just a very talented team. They're executing at a high level and very well coached.
The defending champs, the bar is kind of as high as it is with them. Are you anxious to see where your team sort of stacks up against the
– Yeah, with all, any opportunity that we have, you know, we're excited for. So this is just the next one.
You talked about getting more aggressive defensively. The game kind of switched from gunslinging to punt fest. What did you have to do to adjust their defense?
Well, you know, in the second half, we went in offensively and wanted to be more aggressive and take some chances and, you know, try to get some explosive plays, which we did. In the second half, we had, I think there was 6 in the first half and 4 or 5 in the second half. So the play calling was still very aggressive. But, you know, we had some drops there and we, you know, we just didn't finish drives like we had hoped. But I thought we changed the field position and, with our offense. And sometimes those things take place. You're going to have some series where you, you know, maybe get off the field quickly. And, you know, they just hung with it, though, and came back in that two-minute drive and performed.
If Denard can't play, they need to give Rand and Pierce some more carries so TJ is not carrying 25 pounds a game.
Well, you know, we always felt like to spread it out some, you know, and utilize the strengths of the players. So, you know, it just depends on the game and the situations.
But, I mean, are you going to put Amazon on it or not, or are we just going
to... It's more game to game.
Game to game.
What's your opinion on Gronk, the player he's
Yeah, I mean, I've not yet watched film yet. So, you know, to tell you what he's done so far this year, you know, I know that he's a very, very talented player and something that we have to deal with and be able to identify, you know, where he is on the field. I know they have multiple sets. And again, it's about matchups. They're looking for matchups. So he's very, very talented.
Do you do anything in the offseason as far as looking at, like, the first four or six opponents that you have just to sort of get a jump on it so you can refer back to it?
A little bit, but not too much in detail. It's more about us at that time. We did tackle better. I think we had 10 missed tackles. But I really liked our leverage. I liked, you know, how guys ran to the ball. And, you know, it just felt like, and plus when we hit, it stopped. You know, there wasn't a lot of yards after contact.
Is that a little bit expected from game one to game two once guys had a under
the belt? Well, I don't know. You know, whatever the emphasis, that's one thing that James Sample did a really, really good job of. He did a really good job of tackling. And that's his strength, and that's why he felt like he'd be a good fit at strong safety. But, you know, we had multiple times where it was first and 10, they threw a swing pass, and he tackled it, and it was second and 9. And, you know, really good, strong tackle. So I just think overall our leverage was better.
On Sample's mistake, did he just take a bad angle on that pass to the sideline right in front of you late in the first half? Do you remember or not?
I'm trying to think about it. There was a couple bad angles when he was playing in the middle of the field, the first long pass, you know. But you know, overall, I thought he played pretty solid.
Is that an adjustment for a rookie?
Well, it's an adjustment when you practice. You know, he's been hurt, and then when you practice the whole time at free safety, and then for 3 days you move to strong because it's a whole different dynamic. And we tried to limit some of the calls that we did, and you know, those calls that he played, he did well. We just felt like we needed to become more aggressive in some of the things we did, and that's where we went with Josh.
I know you've been encouraging more when you talked about encouraging more, just throw it out to Robinson and let him make a play. He did that a couple of times yesterday. Does that increase Blake's confidence in, hey, I can do that now?
I think that, you know, last week when he looked at things, he just felt like he didn't give many the receivers or tight ends many opportunities to make plays, and that was a point of emphasis this week. You know, to be bold and be aggressive and give these guys an opportunity. So he did. He felt like the one, again, to Mercedes in the red zone, he felt like he could have gave him a better opportunity.
Peyton Thomas had played, you know, 30-some snaps. I'm surprised how he held up.
Well, he's, you know, he was our fourth safety and our backup nickel, and then all the special teams getting called up from practice squad. So very smart, very intelligent. We felt like he had a pretty good feel at the nickel spot. The free safety spot, he got reps in service team. So he had a lot on his plate. It's not I'm not surprised how he took on the responsibility. You know, he had limited reps in practice playing the position. So for him to go out there, and plus the critical play he made, you know, to get the ball out on that third down. You know, so that's his mentality, to be very aggressive, and you know, it showed up. I'm glad it transferred over.
So why did you cut him in the first place?
Well, he had injuries. You know, he had injuries, and we felt like we could get him back.
You said the game plus Lesney was used a little differently?
No, some of the formations, he wasn't involved as much in the box.
That was based on what Miami was doing?
Yeah, some of the formations they had. Yeah, it goes back. You know, we talk about, you know, hey, we treat them both the same, prosperity, adversity. We, you know, have enough humility to identify your weaknesses and grow from it, and let's move on. And so that's a challenge for us all. I think we identified how we can respond to adversity. Now how do we respond to prosperity? That'll be the challenge this week. They had a great look in their eye. They're very excited about moving on, learning from this film, and getting back to work. Same mentality they had last week. So, you know, anticipate with each individual player, that's what you hope to see, too.
I'm not athletic, I guess, a smart revenge or whatever, but it just seems like a good way to measure progress would be whenever the team loses to the Jaguars, it's not the end of the world. Which seems to be, you know what I mean, what happened later, the Dolphins, it felt like it was the end of the world to the Jaguars. There were comments a couple of years ago for after the Titans lost and stuff like that. Is that a way to measure progress when it's no longer a bad deal?
Well, I all that information you just shared with me, I did not know. So, yeah, no, I don't know. We just, I mean, I'm sure that's out there, but it's not something we bring up in a team meeting or talk to our players about. You know, I think we're more excited about the growth that took place from last week to this week, and then the challenge to keep growing. You know, is how in terms we think. Those guys in that locker room, I would say they probably don't know a lot of that information as well. And I know, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the NFL is that you can control the environment within the building. You can do that as much as possible. Outside, they got to learn how to adjust that. But I'm pleased with how they handled everything that took place last week. Yeah, on occasion. Yes, we have. Not saying.
You obviously are familiar with New England from the 2012 game in Seattle. So, like Brady and I did, so you haven't seen a lot of film, but you know kind of what Tom does and stuff like that. But defensively, they've had a lot of changes. Will that be sort of starting fresh with what they do defensively compared to where they were in 2012 for New England?
I don't know. I mean, that's a couple of years ago, you know, so how much they've changed and, you know, defensively and offensively, they had different personnel, completely different personnel for the most part, I think, from that year. So again, you know, I think you watch their personnel and then watch how they fit in their scheme and then you go from there. But that's on both sides. We kind of separate it. Each phase of the, you know, offense looks at their defense looks at their offense and special teams. And then we just go from there and try to, you know, formalize a game plan. Sure, I think they do a great job of handling both those situations. They responded, I think, last year after the Kansas City game. They came back and responded and played at a high level. And prosperity, you know, they've obviously proven that. And, you know, they can ignore the noise, is what we call it. You know, with all the chatter probably that took place last week, they went in there and in a heightened environment and performed very well. So I think they're on a roll, and they understand those principles, and they play to them. And they've got some very savvy veteran players that have experienced a lot of different situations and responded well. Okay, thank you.